Hello and welcome to the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Gribble. I've been celebrating students and staff on social media since 2014. I'm in the trenches with you, and I know it's not an easy task. So if you're responsible for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more for a K-12 school district, you are in the right spot. You're going to lean in and learn some simple, actionable tips to help you reach even more people. And that's all going to happen while keeping your sanity. So let's get started. Hey there, welcome to this very special episode of the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. Today we have a special guest, Christina Baumgartner, and she is sharing a very authentic, vulnerable story of her wellness journey. And, you know, going back, she was never really a workout kind of person. She liked the idea of working out in the gym, and she would do it for a while, but then, you know, things would always come up. And I just think her story really resonates well with me because I have a similar role to her, right? Working in school communications, trying to take care of other people, it can be challenging to put yourself first. And so Christina's really going to break down her wellness journey. It really started in June of 2022. She's going to talk about her first steps and how she got a trainer. She's going to talk about some of the pivots she's had to make and really the magic that has made it work. And I love the fact that she uses the word non-negotiable in what she sets aside time for with her personal health and her personal wellness. And we also link, you know, physical wellness with mental health and mental wellness. And there's a big tie. And it has definitely impacted her job as a school communicator and improved things, improved her confidence and so much more. I'm just so excited for you to meet Christina. You're going to love this episode. You're going to want to connect with her on Instagram. I've also got her personal email in the show notes. So take a listen. Now, just a quick reminder before we get to today's K-12 PR tip, and that is we are almost at the deadline for our 2024 Golden Gribble Awards. Now, this is the best of social media awards for schools across the country. Really, it can be across the world. We're looking for the best social media, you know, overall performance, I guess, overall profiles. We're doing Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn specific awards. We've got, you know, short video, long form video. Just check it out. I've got a link in the show notes to apply. I want you to be a part of the 2024 awards, which will be awarded on School Communicator Day, which is May 10th this year. We'll be doing a live presentation. And so I hope that you put that on your calendar as well. But you have to apply by April 1st. We've got hundreds and hundreds of people already submitted with their self-nominated. You can nominate yourself up into three different categories. So I just want to encourage you to do that. You can't win if you don't apply. Okay. Can't win if you don't nominate yourself. So nominate yourself today. Take the time. April 1st, the deadline, and then learn and see if you're a winner, but learn from all the winners across the country and maybe across the world on May 10th. All right, let's get to today's K-12 PR tip. All right, today's K-12 PR tip is just a reminder about the upcoming days to celebrate in the month of April. We've got a lot of them. There's probably more to this list, but as far as month celebrations, it's Math Awareness Month, Poetry Month, School Library Month, Child Abuse Prevention Month, Month of the Military Child, Drop Everything and Read Month, which is DEAR, DEAR, and National Arab American Heritage Month. So if you want to recognize any of those on your social media channels in April, now's the time to plan, okay? We also have April 1st through 5th is National Assistant Principals Week, April 2nd, World Autism Awareness Day, April 3rd, National Paraprofessional Appreciation Day, April 4th, National School Librarian Day, April 7th through the 13th, National Library Week, April 20th, Volunteer Recognition Day. Great day to recognize your volunteers, April 20th. April 22nd is Earth Day, and April 24th is Administrative Professionals Day. Whew, if you're overwhelmed with that, don't celebrate any of them. Celebrate your staff and students every single day, okay? And feel great about that. But if you want to recognize any of these for your social media content, like I said, now is the time. Now let's get into today's very special interview with Christina. Hello, Christina. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Andrea.
It's been a while. You're a busy gal and you were just traveling. And I'm just really, really thankful because we've got a really special episode today. So I've got Christina Baumgartner. She's APR out of New York. And she is a public relations specialist, been in the field for quite a few years. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about her wellness journey and really diving into that. But why don't you first just share your background and your career in PR for schools?
Sure. Well, my career in PR actually didn't start in schools.
Okay.
I sort of fell into it by accident. I didn't even know that schools had PR people.
Me too.
So in 2005, I worked on a winning municipal campaign here on Long Island. And during the transition, our leader, who would become our deputy supervisor, pulled me aside and said, I want to hire you to work for the town. And I said, great, what kind of legislation are you going to put me on? And this is going to be awesome. And he said, no, I'm putting you in the public information office. And I very distinctly remember him saying to me, I think PR is going to be your thing. And I was about 19 or 20 years old at the time. And I said, I don't even know how to do PR, but here we are. So I spent about 10 years doing various roles in communications and community relations and PR for elected officials. And in 2014, I was actually the communications director for a member of Congress from Long Island. And unfortunately, we lost our election. And while I was looking for work after that, someone I knew from my political life knew that the district was that I worked for was hiring and submitted my resume to them. And so 9 years later, I'm still in my district, and it's been a really great experience and something that I wouldn't trade for anything.
So I think you're going to lead to some inspiration yourself in some of your journey, but I love that back when you were 19, 20 years old, that somebody looked at you and your skill set and said, I think PR is what you're going to be great at.
Yes. And I still, he knows that I shout him out all the time. His name is Jack Schneerman. And we still, you know, we'll exchange emails every so often. And I'll say, hey, I did a workshop on mentoring at a conference. And I mentioned you because you were my first PR mentor. And when I have bad days, I still blame you. I still say this is Jack's fault.
Yes, you got me into this, which there are bad days, but there are a lot of good days.
Oh, there are so many good days.
Yeah. And, you know, PR itself, and we could talk about a lot of things. You've got a lot of expertise in your 9 years of experience with schools and beyond that on the campaign trail and all that. But it's a demanding field. And a lot of people listening today are probably struggling with wellness, not only sleep and exercise and eating and all of the things that go into, you know, kind of taking care of ourselves because we're so focused on taking care of everybody else. Yeah. So I want to talk about your wellness journey. So just how did it start? Just tell me a little bit about it.
So I was somebody who always loved the idea of working out, and I would get started in the gym and then a campaign would come up, or I'd be really tired and I'd skip a day, and then that would turn into skipping 2 days and skipping 2 weeks. And so I was somebody who was sort of back and forth in terms of my consistency level. And I think the experience that I went through during the COVID years, I guess we'll call them, where my role in my district actually changed for a couple of years, and we weren't doing a whole lot of proactive PR. I actually became our assistant COVID coordinator and was doing a lot of contact tracing and making determinations about quarantines. And doing a lot of work on protocols and things like that and explaining protocols. I wasn't setting them, but I had to explain what they meant. And so I think that throughout that, it added even more of a sort of a need that I saw for myself to get back to a place that I was happy with. And because I kind of looked up, it was about, I guess, June of 2022. I sort of looked up and I took stock of my life and where I was at. And I said, I'm not happy with where I'm at. I'm not happy mentally. I'm not happy physically. And I'm not happy spiritually with where I'm at. And so I didn't know exactly at that moment what I needed to change, but I knew I needed to change something. And I said, you know, I've always kind of enjoyed the gym. When I've been in, I used to call them my gym phases. And when I've been in my gym phase, it was something I really enjoyed. So what would happen if I tried it and maybe stuck with it? And so I knew I couldn't do it by myself, though. I think that was part of the problem in the past was I think it's an accountability thing, but also I would walk in and say, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to go use the treadmill or I'm going to try out this workout that I think might make some sense, but I'm not 100% sure. And so I went to someone that I knew in the athletic space and I said, I need a trainer. Who do you know? And ended up working with a trainer for about 9 months of my journey. And it was a great way to just sort of get started because I had someone showing me what I needed to do each time I stepped in the gym. And it was also great because it was a private gym and you ended up seeing the same people all the time. And so it built that support system
Okay.
that I really needed, I think, at that point to show me how I could make changes.
So, question, because
Sure.
you're busy and your schedule's busy. So, how did you fit in the workouts? Did you go in the morning, at night? What was that like?
When I first started, I think I had the benefit of it was the summer when I
Okay.
started because I started my first workout. I consider it the beginning of my fitness journey. It was June 15th of 2022.
Okay.
And so I started that summer just going maybe twice a week,
Okay.
and I would go after work. So I was probably getting to the gym at about 3 or 4 o'clock because we had early hours in the summer.
Okay.
And then slowly I started building up to, okay, I'm going to be in here 3 times a week. And then one of the things that I said to myself when school started was, this is the busiest time that I have in my work. Well, one of the busiest times
Right.
is right when school starts and you're getting ready, and then you're doing all the open houses and back to school nights, and there's all these things that come up. And I said, it's going to be really easy for me to put the gym to the back burner. And I made a deal with myself that I had to make going to the gym and getting my workouts in my non-negotiable. And it was really hard because I'm somebody that will very easily put everybody else's needs above mine and prioritize, well, this needs to get done at work and this needs to get done for my organization and this. And then slowly, what I need to do for myself falls to the back burner. And I think I had just sort of realized that by doing that, I was actually doing a disservice to my work and doing a disservice to my organization and a disservice to my family because I wasn't my best self. And so I made that my non-negotiable. And by the time we were about halfway through September, I think I was in that gym 6 days a week with the trainer doing it. And it took some work. It's not easy. And it took a supportive environment behind me. So my family understood I'm not going to be able to do anything until at least 11 o'clock on a Saturday because my workout's at 9. Or my team here, my leadership team here, understanding, well, we have that meeting at 7 o'clock. So I'm going to leave the office at 4. I'm going to go work out with my trainer for an hour, and then I'm going to come back for that meeting and I'll be ready to go. Or I'm going to use some of my flex time and I'm going to come in a little bit later in the morning because I know that I can't get there this evening because we have 3 events going on. So I'm going to get my workout in first thing in the day. And it was an adjustment. It was definitely an adjustment, and it wasn't easy by any means in the beginning. I think the more I got into it, the easier it became because I started to see the benefit for myself of I'm able to focus better at work and I'm able to be able, I've already done something hard for the day, or, I've already accomplished something today. So now I know I can do other things.
Right.
So.
So, how have you had to really? I mean, this started in 2022. You said you were with a trainer for 9 months. And, I'm sure along the way you've had to pivot. So, how have you done with that? And I've loved watching your journey. And that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast, just because you've been very open with kind of sharing this journey with others, which I think is so inspiring. But sometimes when you hit maybe a roadblock, then people, like you said, you had your gym phases before. How did you make this one stick? And then how did you pivot and still have success?
So I appreciate you saying that because that's one of the reasons that I have been very open about sharing it is because of the feedback that I've gotten from people that, it has shown them that it's possible and it's shown them that somebody who's like them can do it. But also, I think I've been very open about sharing when I do struggle and saying, hey, I'm struggling with seeing my changes or this wasn't a great week. I was eating the snack mix on the plane because that's what I was able to do. So it's been, there have been a few pivots that I've had to make because the first one was trying to find the time just to get started and overcoming that need to sort of prioritize other things. I think that was the first big pivot, that I had to make. And then I also had to pivot because I made the decision to stop working with the trainer. And I think that was a really scary moment. I wasn't sure. I don't have a background in fitness. I dabbled in a lot of different sports when I was a kid, but I don't have a background as a trainer or as any kind of fitness professional. So it's been a lot of learning and trying to figure out what exactly I need to do. But I think part of it was that I fell in love with the process. I fell in love with the idea that every time I step into the gym, I'm doing the same thing, which is fine, right? Because one of the things is that in order to be successful, you have to get comfortable with being a little bored, right? And I think it's sometimes, I mean, I always tell people PR means something different every day, but there are a lot of times where our work is very rote. And I don't want to say boring, but it's very repetitive and we're doing the same sort of thing every day. And so I think it sort of helped with getting comfortable with that boredom sometimes. And not in a bad way, because boredom isn't always a bad thing, right? But I think the other thing it did is that every time I step into the gym, I'm realizing I can do hard things. And being able to do hard things in that setting really carried over into being able to find my voice and find my confidence again, and being able to then feel comfortable having hard conversations in my work and being able to really advocate for the things that I believed in more effectively because I wasn't willing to always give up so easily. And I wasn't willing to say, well, okay, I'm just going to take a back seat. It's sort of built that confidence from what I was doing in the gym to sort of carry over. And as I was sort of going through and pivoting to here's how I train myself and what can I learn from that. And by the way,
Of
I
course you
RPied
did.
the heck out of how to do training. And so it just sort of, I think that's one of the reasons it stuck was because it started to spill over. And I saw the benefit that what I was doing to improve my physical wellness was improving my mental wellness, which was then carrying over into doing my work. So I think that really sort of helped it stick this time.
So tell everybody if they haven't heard of RPI before, what does that stand for?
So RPI is sort of that APR standard, of research, planning, implementation, and evaluation. And it's really kind of cool that, I mean, we use it in our work in PR, right? But it's really kind of cool to apply it to other things and to see, exactly how you're able to sort of mesh your two worlds. So I did a lot of research, a lot of research on, what does it mean to really train effectively? And then I planned out what were my workouts going to be and what were my day, like what could I commit to at different points in time? And I mean, I'm also a little bit insane in that I do a 6 day split and not everybody's going to plan their workout that way, but then implementing it. And it's really kind of easy to evaluate whether you're being effective with this kind of stuff, right? Because it's sort of like you can see your social media metrics. So you know if the campaign that you wanted to reach the right audience is reaching that audience. When you're in the gym, if your goal is to get progressive overload on your lifts, you know whether you're actually doing that or not from week to week. So
Yeah, and I know it's working because I saw your back muscles were doing that little video. And it's impressive, you guys. So you got to follow Christina. But what I like the most, I think, is sometimes we can be intimidated by these people that, I mean, it's their life. They've always seemed to be fit and, always seem to have it together. And I think a lot of us might be intimidated by that. And that's why I love that you are sharing your story because you are like everybody else. You have a heavy workload. It's easy to, and you're kind of born to put, when you're a good person in PR, you're almost born to put other people ahead of yourself. But you have to realize that you're at your best and you're at your most effective when you can be, well. And like you said, physically, and then that leads into spiritually and mentally and, all of the things relationally, of being healthy. And so that's why I think it's been so fun to watch your story and it really resonates well, definitely with this audience. So you've it's impacted your work, it's impacted your personal life. Anything else, I guess, specific as far as, some of those impacts?
I think the biggest thing for me has been feeling like it's taken me 38 years, right? But feeling like in a very real and whole way, I'm finally who I was meant to be. And feeling like I finally have found the level of self-acceptance that I've always wanted. And it's been a journey. It has really been a journey. And, part of it with the mental health aspect of this, one of the first things that I noticed was my anxiety level. It was much more manageable. And I mean, I always joke, well, I'm stressed today. I'm going to go destroy myself in the gym. But what I find that it does is it either quiets my brain and gives me that time where my brain is just not thinking about anything except the barbell that's in front of me or the machine that's in front of me. But it also, and I said this to someone early on in my journey, somebody that I had met in the gym. I mentioned that my anxiety felt a lot more controlled. And this person said to me, it's because when you're lifting, you have to be present in the moment. And it trains your brain on how to be present in the moment. And I'm not a therapist, so I don't know how much efficacy there actually is in that sentiment, but it made a lot of sense to me. Because if I thought about it, I can't, if you're trying to throw, I mean, the barbell itself is 45 pounds. And then you're adding weights to that. And when you're trying to throw that around and, lift it up over your head or squat that bar, if you're distracted thinking about anything other than what you're doing, it can become dangerous because that can lead you to not focus on exactly what you're doing. And you move your arm the wrong way slightly, or you move your foot just a little bit out of place and you can hurt yourself. And so you really do have to have that focus. And I found that it carried over. I mean, and there are still some days where I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I can't focus on anything today. But a lot of days I'm able to sort of control that a lot better than I used to be able to. And I really attribute that to being back in the gym and what I'm doing there. And it sort of started me down the path of I had never seen a therapist before in my life. I was sort of a little bit afraid of it. And I said, but you know what? I'm doing all of these other hard things to address my wellness. And if I really want to address my wellness, maybe it's time. And, so being able to reach a point where I could take that leap and really, I said, step one, okay, now let's move on to step two. And so I think that that has just been so impactful in just my life in general, not even just in my work, but just being able to process the things that are going on around me has been invaluable. And I don't think I would have taken that step without the step that I took towards my physical wellness.
Right. And physical wellness isn't about a number on a scale.
No.
And it's you obviously have some goals. Other people listening may have other goals. I mean, I do not want to meet Christina in a dark alley because she's gonna kick my butt.
No.
Well, you're too nice for that. But you've really built up a lot of strength, and everybody's goals are gonna be different. You certainly, I mean, you live in a heavily populated area, so it's easy to get to a gym, right? So, I guess just want to share my experience. And now I'm 45 years old, so I'm a little older than you. And physical fitness has been something that has helped me with my mental health as well, with my anxiety. Something that I'm definitely passing on to my daughter, who's 18 years old and does the same thing where it's like physical fitness. But what I noticed is I've had to switch. I used to do a lot of HIIT cardio, so like high intensity interval training and burpees and all this stuff. And my joints are starting to get a little bit, weaker. And all of a sudden, my knee starts hurting. And so now I've been doing a lot of this zone two, like low impact workouts. And I live 35 minutes from the closest gym that I could go to. And so it's really not, I mean, it's an option, but. So what I do is I have the Peloton app, and I don't have a Peloton bike, guys. I don't have the Peloton treadmill or anything like that. But Peloton offers things that you can do without having any of their standard equipment that you can still do. And I think it's maybe $15.99 a month. But those coaches, I mean, I feel like I know them and they cheer me on, and I make that a priority in the morning. To work out before I get ready for the day, before I have coffee or breakfast or anything. I'm a morning workout person. And I've just had to pivot a little bit on what exactly some of those workouts look like. But it makes a big difference. And I think, like you said, sometimes you can think, oh, I don't have time for this. And it's like, you have to have time for this because otherwise, everything else that's on your to-do list is going to take you so much longer because you don't have the focus, you don't have, the effort that you can put forward with it if you are taking care of yourself in all of the ways, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be extreme, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I on a typical day, I probably spend anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours in the gym before I go to work because I am a morning crew. I love my morning crew. And so I'm getting to the gym anywhere between 4 and 5 a.m., depending on the day. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be as simple as I'm going to go outside and take a walk. Or, you're sitting in front of the TV and you do some stretching. Or, there's a million things that you can do very easily at home. Or, if you do have access to a gym, even just small things that you can do at the gym without having to be, going hardcore and extreme. So I think that, for people who are looking to start, that's something to keep in mind is that, if you look at my Instagram, it looks a little crazy. But it's really, it doesn't have to be. And I mean, I had a point in time, I guess it was last spring into the summer where I actually had an injury and had to back way off from my workouts. And I would just go for walks. I would jump on the treadmill, jump on the elliptical, and it, just to keep myself moving and to keep that mental state that I get from working out.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be crazy.
And I'm sure when you first started back in June, on June 15th of 2022, you weren't working out for 2.5 hours then, right?
Probably not. I was probably, I mean, when I was working with the trainer, I was probably in the gym with him for about like an hour, hour and a half, but it wasn't an hour, hour and a half of hardcore go, go, go. And to be fair, you know, I mean, I do now, even when I'm in there for 2.5 hours, you know, I have my morning crew and we'll stop and catch up with each other. And, you know, it's, so it's not go, go, go for every second of it.
Right.
But no, I was not in there for as long, as I am.
So you kind of already alluded to, hey, advice if you were just starting out, but I think some people just say they're just too exhausted at all to really focus on wellness. Like, I'm so exhausted, there's no way that I'd be able to add that in. What would you say to that person?
I was that person. I very seriously, and some days I still am that person. And I mean, I'm in a different place now where when that alarm goes off at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and I say, I don't know if I have it today. I just have, it's just my routine. It's, I go through it and I say, okay, I don't know if I have it today, but you know what? Let me get up and get dressed. And okay, let me go get washed. Let me pull all my food out of the fridge. You know what? I'm not feeling as badly as I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's just that simple step of, you know what? Let me put on my workout clothes. I'm going to get out of my pajamas. I'm going to put on my workout clothes. Okay. You know what? Maybe I'm not feeling as tired as I thought I was, or, you know, now that I'm moving around, you know, I feel better. And sometimes I find even after going, that energy spike that you get from the gym is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. And I used to be, and I don't want to say that this is something that's going to happen for everybody, but I used to be a caffeine junkie. I loved caffeine. And the problem that I had was I used to drink Coca-Cola a lot, because that was my form of caffeine, which then I switched over to doing energy drinks. And now I don't drink any caffeine at all.
Awesome.
It's just sort of now, you know, nope, this is the time. I don't need caffeine to get out the door because this is just my routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. Like I said, you know, that doesn't happen for everybody and it's not something that happens overnight. But I think once you make those tiny steps, you know, it does start becoming part of your routine. And I think you notice that you're probably more tired if you don't go. Or,
oh,
you know,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can have days and I, you know, I work from home, but I can have days where it's like, oh, I'm going to need a nap today if I want to try to take a 20, 30 minute nap. It's like, I'm going to be way better if I just go for that walk.
Yeah.
And that's going to rejuvenate me and pump me up for the rest of the things that I have to do for the day.
Yeah.
So that's really important. I think it's also, I liked the term that you said, I made it my non-negotiable.
Yes.
And, you know, when you can truly treat that, you know, health time, whether it's a 15 minute walk, whether it's, you know, focusing on eating away from your desk or having some time to meditate or whatever it might be, but treating that as you would an important meeting with your boss.
Yeah.
Or a social media post that you just have to make. It's like you have to make that much into your schedule that no, this really is important. And you got to believe it because it is.
Yes.
And once you start living it, right? Like, you know, that truly does make a difference.
It does. It really does. And it's, I mean, if you had told me, I guess it's been just over a year and a half now that I've been on this journey. And if you had told me back then where I would be today in terms of my health and the goals that I'm trying to achieve right now, I would have said that you were crazy. I never would have believed that, you know, I would have set the goal of competing in bodybuilding. I never would have believed that I would be, you know, hopefully a couple months out from getting my personal training certification. I never would have believed any of that if you had told me that. And I think that's one of the really great things that this sport has brought me and that this journey has brought me is just this expansion in terms of my belief of what's possible.
And so now you are going to be getting certified in being a personal trainer for others.
Hopefully, that's the
Okay.
goal. That's the goal right now. So I'm working towards that one first, and then after I get that certification, I actually want to go a little bit further and get certified in strength and conditioning coaching. And so, you know, those are two areas that have really been of great interest to me. And I figured with the personal training one, I said, you know, I'm learning how to train myself. I may as well
Right.
just continue that path. And I don't know what I'll do with it yet. I have some ideas
Yeah.
of what I might like to do with it, but I don't have anything sort of set in stone yet.
Okay.
But I never would have thought that I was somebody who would even consider that.
Right. So, what is the best way to stay connected to you? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that may want to reach out with questions or follow your journey. So, what's the best way?
My most used social media is my Instagram,
Okay.
which is at KM Baumgartner.
Okay.
And I post a lot about my fitness journey on there, and you know, a lot about my workouts, and I'm competing in 16 weeks and 4 days, not that I'm counting. And so, you know, there's a lot on there about sort of that process and what I'm doing leading up to that. So
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good for you. Congratulations. So, we'll make sure to link to your Instagram handle in the show notes. So this is the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. And so I would like to leave with a tip of yours for school social media. What would you say is your best tip?
oh gosh. I would say don't engage with the haters.
Yeah.
And I think that's not just for schools. I think that's just in general. I was actually just this past weekend at the Inspire President Summit, and they had a really wonderful keynote speaker. His name was Kevin Bracey. And he, one of the things that he said was when it was basically combating negative with positive. And it was about your own self-talk. So it was sort of when I think negative, I speak positive. But I think that that has a lot of application to social media as well, that when they speak negative, we speak positive.
Right.
And I mean, I think we see it. I see it more and more on, you know, some of the people that I follow. You know, they've started sharing some of the things about people who are attacking them in their comments or in their DMs. And it's really sad that something that started, you know, social media started as a way to sort of bring people together, and it's turned into a way for people to sort of hide behind their computer screens. And so I think the ability to shut those people out and to not feel like you have to go negative or respond negatively to people who are being negative, I think is an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, we gotta continue to focus on the positive. There's so many great things happening.
Yes.
Sometimes those negative voices are the loudest, but they're not the majority. And so
No. And one of the things that I actually had a situation last night with one of the Facebook groups that I belong to, where somebody, I think the ability to post anonymously now is sort of a double-edged sword. I think it can be great when you maybe want to get advice without giving up too much personal information in some of these groups. But I think that people have also found a way to use it to attack and to be negative. I didn't take my own advice. I engaged with the hater, but in a positive way. My messaging back was very positive, which only brought me more vitriol from this individual. But it's, I think that it's an interesting environment, and I think the more that we can bring positive to combat that, instead of just engaging with negativity back, I think is going to be a powerful change maybe on social media. Because I think too often you see somebody post something negative and that's all they get back is negative. So.
I love it. Well, this has been so awesome. I'm so proud of your journey. I know you're just getting started, and
Yep.
but it's important to go back and get the starting point, and know that you would have never even dreamed of where you're at now if you would have said that a year and a half ago. So, please reach out to Christina if you've got more questions. Definitely follow her story on Instagram, and just know that it's definitely possible to make it a non-negotiable for just some baby steps at first, and watch and see how that impacts everything in your life. And I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing.
Of course. And I'm just gonna second what you said. Please, anybody who's listening, feel free to reach out. My DMs are, are always open, and I do check that little request folder. So even if it goes into there, I'll end up seeing it. I had people that supported me along the way, and I wouldn't be where I am without the people who supported me along the way. And so if I can pay it back and support anybody who's trying to make wellness, whether it's whatever kind of wellness. It doesn't have to be fitness, and you don't have to be walking into the gym. If there's anything that I can do to support somebody else on their journey, I'm more than happy to do it. So please don't hesitate to reach out.
Awesome. Well, we'll have you back sometime and we'll talk all about school PR type stuff too, but this was amazing. Please, if you've gotten a lot out of this, please share this episode with others. Usually we're in a network of folks that do similar things to us, and I think this would be a great episode for people to listen to and then take some steps, take some baby steps. And Christina and myself, we're here to support you, and we will see you guys back next week with another great episode. But thanks so much, Christina. Bye bye.
Take care.
I want to let you in on a little secret. Creating this podcast is my favorite thing to do. Now, I have a pretty amazing job all around, but podcasting is my happy place. Of course, podcasting doesn't pay the bills, and I have six kids, remember? So I wanted to remind you of the three ways I help schools through my paid programs. Number one, and most popular, is my membership group. You can join my exclusive virtual community designed for school social media managers. It offers a treasure trove of resources, including Canva templates, daily support, live weekly training sessions, and access to a vast library of webinars. You guys, with over 400 schools across the country already benefiting from this vibrant community, you'll gain insights and tools that can supercharge your school's social media presence. Number two way that I serve schools is speaking. I love to share my passion for social media, and I do this with communication organizations across the country and school districts. My keynotes really deliver actionable tips and strategies that can be implemented immediately, ensuring that your school stays ahead of the communication curve. And last, number three, my team and I, we actually do social media management for schools. So many school districts struggle to stay consistent on social media, and that's due to a lack of dedicated communication personnel. So that's where we come in. Our team will partner with your school district to manage your Facebook and Instagram accounts, and we ensure a consistent flow of compelling stories that come directly from your staff. That's it. If you are interested in getting more details on number one, the membership group, number two, speaking, number three, the social media management, hop on over to my website, socialschool4edu.com. And then until next time, keep telling those stories.